it? Like, you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, everybody, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us this week. You can do this every week. This is a weekly podcast. We are at dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. We are on Real Punk Radio. We are on there every Wednesday night, and we put up a new podcast every Wednesday. So that's two ways you guys can get down with us every week. So some of you might be wondering what we do on this podcast if you've never listened before. On this podcast, we try to do two things. We try to take a good, hard look at some of the stuff that's going on in the mainstream. All this backward stuff that's lofted at us, that we're bombarded with by this mainstream culture, the stuff that bogs down our brains and turns us into the bad people we've become so all too often. We try to take a good, hard, clear look at those things and try to figure out a perspective on how to deal with them. Obviously, they're not going away. They're not simply going to disappear, and we don't have enough man or woman power to overthrow them yet. So we're trying to get some perspective on how to deal with them, see if there's any kernels of goodness in any of that stuff, find them, pull them out, and hopefully figure out how we can obliterate the rest of it, that culture that is. So that's one thing we try to do on this podcast, is get some perspective on the mainstream things that are going down. On the other side, we try to take things that are going on the underground, things that might have been ignored or overlooked by too many people because they are overwhelmed by so much culture. So we try to find the best of the best in the underground and promote it and give it a way for it to speak, whether it be activists or musicians or artists or movie makers or whatever. We find the best of the best and we try to give them a chance to say their piece and hopefully help us all get adjusted and get some perspective. That's what we do here on Dispatchers from the Underground. We do it every week. We do it on Real Punk Radio. We do it on this podcast. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can subscribe there. You can donate. You can find out what we got going on. We'll get to all that later, but let's cut to the chase. I'm very lucky that this week we have an incredibly special guest from one of the quintessential punk bands of our time. Todd Kowalski from Propagandhi is going to get down with us today. And in reflecting on what to ask this legendary punk musician, this punk musician that has defined what punk music is today in Propagandhi. At least in my eyes, I don't know, other people might disagree with that, but they don't have a podcast, so I guess they don't get to disagree with me in this format. But I think that Propagandhi has helped define what punk music is today. And in trying to think about what I wanted to talk to him about, I really wanted to talk to him about how that happened. And not like the circumstances of the stories involved, and I know that those are interesting stories, and I'd really like to hear them too, but I didn't want to take up too much of Todd's time, and so I got to what I felt was the chase. I wanted to talk to Todd about what his and Propagandhi's objectives were, both in coming up with tunes, but also in talking about the things that they talk about and in playing the shows that they play and in interacting with the crowd and developing the culture that they develop. I wanted to talk to him about what their objectives are. How do they do it? How do they make it so dynamic and so interesting? Their tunes are just flawless. They're so brilliant. And they're so biting lyrically and philosophically. And I just had so many questions as to how that comes about. And I think Todd's going to have a very unique perspective on how not only that happens, but how we can actually get some perspective on the art that we make and the culture we make and the things that we do. And so I'm going to talk to him about that, but hopefully in a way that can help us figure out what is behind that magic and how we can implement it in our lives. That's the first part we're going to talk about, is how these incredible underground musicians have become this mainstream phenomenon and how they stay so principled and so artistically incredible. We're going to talk about that first and foremost. And in the second part of the episode, I wanted to talk about something obviously a little bit more politically provocative, because Todd is in Propagandhi and they do an incredible job of bringing politics to a lot of people who may not have engaged in any other way. But also, we do politics on this show in some way every week, or philosophy in the show every week. So I wanted to take it, ratchet it up another level and bring it to another place. We don't generally talk about international issues very much on the show anymore. But there are so much heavy stuff going on in the Middle East. And I wanted to get Todd's perspective on this stuff. Obviously, he's not speaking for a particular political group. He's not speaking for the whole band. And I'm not preparing him ahead of time about what questions I'm going to be talking to him about. So these are his answers in the moment, but I wanted to get his thoughts on this heavy stuff going on in the Middle East as a person of consciousness, as a thoughtful and engaged human, a worldwide citizen and artist. I wanted to get his perspective on this, not only in the particulars of what's going on in Palestine, but also because I think that they deal with very heavy political issues all the time in propaganda, and I think this is probably the heaviest of the heaviest of our time. I think the crisis in Syria is pretty definitive for this moment, but also Palestine for our entire lives. Very definitive. So how to look at this very heavy moment and still be able to deal with it and talk about it and engage it without being debilitated and paralyzed. Wanted to talk to him about that. But also, we're going to be touching on boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the BDS movement, which Altonop and Propagandhi are at least in a small part, a small way part of. We're part of this organization, we've signed this call, Punks Against Apartheid. People can go to punksagainstapartheid.com. That's apartheid, APARTHEID.com. And check out that call. It's basically cultural performers, people who are producing culture and especially punk music, signing up to say that we're not going to be playing in Israel and we are supportive of the BDS movement. And we think that the horrible atrocities that Israel is committing against the Palestinian people should be ended. And so that's what Punks Against Apartheid does, and we're both signatories of it, and I thought it would be relevant for us to have a little chit-chat about it and talk about it in very frank terms. So I really want to thank Todd for taking time out of his busy schedule to get down with us, and also being willing to talk about very heavy topics with someone he barely knows. So and I really want to thank Todd for that, and he did a great job. And I also want to thank our mutual friends that put us in contact with each other from Los Angeles. I really appreciate everybody helping support Dispatches from the Underground and making this show possible. Yeah, so let's cut to the chase. Here's Todd Kowalski from Propagandhi. Get down. All right, shows. I got a bunch of shows I want to let you know about. First things first, want to let you know that All Torn Up is going to be playing an incredible show that Scenic Presents, one of the best promoters here in New York City. They just brought Cox Bar here for two shows here in Brooklyn last weekend recently. Anyway, Scenic Presents is doing a show for the Partisans featuring Chemtrails, Opposition Rising, our good friends from Boston, and All Torn Up will be opening that show. It is April 25th. It's Saturday, April 25th. It's at the Grand Victory, 245 Grand Street. As I know right now, the show is sold out, but maybe if you swing by, you might be able to squeeze in. I don't even know. I have no idea. But the Partisans will be here. I think they're playing some other shows. I know they're playing in Boston as well. So if you like the Partisans and you want to check them out, this is your chance to do it. Figure out how to get in. So that is April 25th. Again, Scenic Presents is killing it with those shows. Other shows that are happening, I know April 24th, the day before, we're going to be doing a show at the Swamp with Bad Luck, Spewing Cum, A New Bug, and Young Cum. Wow, there's a lot of cum on that show. It's kind of weird. Anyway, that's at the Swamp in Brooklyn. You could take the L train to Montrose and just email us at dispatchfromtheunderground@gmail.com if you need an address for that. That show is a benefit for an East Rev project, and it's going to be the first of a few shows that we have left there. So if you haven't been to the Swamp in a long time, you want to check it out before we close down, make sure you get there. Other shows that are going on, the Latin Ska Punk Fest is happening on May 1st, also at the Swamp. I know some people may be not so interested in shows as much as they are interested in other things. So you know, this weekend here in New York City is the Anarchist Book Fair. It's going to be April 17th through April 19th. It's going to be happening at Judson Memorial Church right next to Washington Square, 55 Washington Square South. People should go check it out. It's going to have a lot of great collaborators that they've been working with for a long time. I know the Brooklyn Bass is going to be represented. AK Press is going to be there. Earth First Journal is going to be there. At Anarchist Black Cross, an organization I am dearly support and I love. There's going to be, Z Communications, Revolutionary Minded Gear, Sweet Job. I mean, there's just a ton. Take Back the Bronx is going to be there. There's just a ton of organizations for you to hook up with and from information for you to get down with that's going to be happening. And there's going to be a ton of panels. I'm not going to obviously go through all the panels. You guys can go check it out on Facebook. Just search for the 2015 Anarchist Book Fair Arts and Film Festival. There's going to be a panel on Saturday afternoon about Antifa and the punk scene. Sadly, we were asked to be part of it. We could not be part of it because of some other previous engagements, but you should definitely go there. I think that panel is at 2 p.m. On Saturday, the 18th, I think. Whatever that Saturday is, 17th or 18th. I think it's 18th. So that's a good, relevant panel for all of our punk listeners. Yeah, and that is going to be this weekend. So make sure you guys get down to the Anarchist Book Fair. In the long term, we want to let people know about La Damada, the great Chicago band, is going to be performing here in New York City May 10th. They're on tour right now. I'm sure they're going to be somewhere near where you are right now. So make sure you guys go to La Damada's Facebook page. You can find out more about the shows they have going on. If you go to facebook.com/ Armada Hardcore. That's ARMADA Hardcore. And you can find out more about La Damada from Chicago. They're on a coast-to-coast tour right now. And I know we're going to be talking about and playing some La Damada later in the episode. So you'll have even more reason to check them out. They are playing here Sunday, May 10th, 6 p.m. in support of Strung Out, who they're on tour with. And I'm not sure who else is playing that show, actually. I think Red City Radio NYC is playing that show, who I am relatively unfamiliar with. But they're going to be playing at the Gramercy Theater, 127 East 23rd Street, New York City. Ton of cool shows coming up. And, of course, Propagandi is going to be telling us about what they have going on. So let me have Todd tell you what's going on with them. So.
We're playing in June 18th in this festival called Montebello. And I guess we generally don't do that, but the guy putting it on actually said that he'd do a separate little sponsorless show for us. So there's a festival, and then we're playing at just somewhere close to the festival. It's us and Warren Wimp and Reviver and I think a couple local bands. And maybe a Rage Against the Machine cover band is playing after us. That's what I think. And then, so we're doing that. And then we're going to Clifton Park, New York, and Portland, Maine. And then two more shows in Canada on the East Coast that are just almost set up, but not quite. So, yeah, we're just kind of doing that quickly and then coming home and keeping our... We don't want to get too far away from our songwriting, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to come back and just get right back to that.
Well, we have a festival here in New York that is a sponsorless. It's all DIY promoters. If you guys are looking we do a thing called Punk Island. It's just like local bands, and we just have 100 bands play, all free, all ages, no drinking, just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you guys ever are around in late June in New York, we'd love to have you, obviously.
Yeah, that's kind of more of where we... try to end up, you know, kind of not sponsored festivals.
We don't do sponsorship, but we do a show. If you guys are around June 21st, we'd obviously love to have you play with us. Anyway, we'll hold off on that. Me trying to bug Todd into playing Punk Island. But for those people who are going to be around for sure, June 21st, whether Propagandi plays or not, Punk Island will be happening on Staten Island as we have been doing it for the last few years. June 21st, summer solstice, longest day of the year. The show's going to start at 10 a.m. and we're going to be going until 9 p.m. till the sun goes down. So hopefully you all can join us June 21st, Staten Island, right next to the ferry. We're going to be talking about it a lot more in the coming weeks, prepping for this show, and hopefully you all can join us. And that's all the shows coming up. So we'll see you at the shows. Get down. My band All Toad Up is going to be playing April 25th at the Grand Victory. It's a Scenic Presents show, and they're putting on an incredible lineup featuring the Partisans and also Chemtrails and Opposition Rising. Here's a song we're going to be playing that night. You can get it on our Bandcamp site at alltornup.bandcamp.com. It's on our most recent record, Drone Life. This song is called There Already Ruins, and the song is really about how, you know, all the horrible stuff that goes on in the world and the fact that this system and this the leaders who have occupied the positions of power and the resources of power and the means of power in this world are constantly trying to beat us into submission, and they endlessly, you know, building these systems that we engage in that oppress us. But, you know, ultimately, these systems and these buildings that they build are made out of concrete, and that concrete cannot hold. And as these systems fail and as these buildings come down, it's important for us to remember that the thing that's going to live on past them is the people and the words and the ideas that we represent and we try to aspire to become. And this song is about remembering that. And remembering that even as these buildings fail and even as these systems crash, and hopefully they crash and crumble faster and faster, we need to remember what really matters, and that's what people, and that's empowerment and the people we're around. So, you know, we play these shows all the time, and we love playing these shows, and it's really everything that we care about. And as this system crumbles, and if it's our last day, we hope that it's our day to be playing with you at these shows, so... This is what that is song's about, and sticking together and being arm in arm with your brothers and sisters and raising consciousness and trying to aspire to be the world citizens we aspire to be, watching those buildings crumble and standing strong. And hopefully through all the smoke and fire, we can build a better world with those things that we've held on to so dearly. So that's what this song is about. It's called There Already Ruins. Get down. So, Todd, thanks for getting down with us, man. I really appreciate you coming on with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you in Winnipeg right now? Is that right? You're not on tour.
No, just sitting here in Winnipeg. Just got home from practicing, actually.
Nice.
Trying to make new stuff right now.
With Propagandhi?
Yeah.
So the other bands that you did do in the past, like I Spy, do you still make music with those guys, or?
No, we stopped in 97, I guess, mostly. Yeah, that was sort of, I could tell, well, two guys quit, and then I could tell interest was just sort of waning, you know, so, yeah, then I was going to fill in for Propagandhi on their tour, and then I just ended up staying there, because we were having a good time, so.
That's the best way to do it.
97, yeah, I was touring on the Less Talk tour.
Is it still magical every time you tour? You guys still always have fun all the time, every time?
Yeah, pretty much, I'd say. I think we have more fun now than we used to, that's for sure.
No kidding.
I think we used to put a little too much pressure on ourselves, maybe, you know? Now we're just kind of going out and going for broke, you know? I just find it, maybe it's just experience or something, I don't know. I think it's just more fun now, for whatever reason.
God, there couldn't be any pressure on you guys. You guys have been killing it for so fucking long that it's just obviously the best of the best no matter what happens. I mean, even if you have the worst night in the world, you're still better than everybody else who ever plays ever.
Well, I appreciate that, but yeah, it doesn't feel like it when you're in the band, you know?
Yeah.
For us, we used to kind of, if we felt like we weren't having a good show, I think we used to take it too hard, you know?
Yeah.
And now we have a bad show and just kind of like, whatever, fuck, we'll do it better next time, you know? We always try our hardest, but just sometimes you can feel like it's not working out, you know?
Yeah.
But now at least we're not, I think mostly like some sort of our playing is at a point now, like, yeah, we're even our bad shows, it's just kind of like not all that bad, you know? So it's not so devastating, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're just being humble. I feel like everybody knows exactly what you're saying. I mean, I don't know if you would say it, but I'll say it. And probably everybody knows Propagandhi. Everybody loves your tunes. I mean, you guys, you make punk tunes that every punk musician looks at and says, wow, those are really well-written tunes. So even if it's like a bad night, it's like, man, you're still playing the most well-composed, thought-out tunes around. So,
I appreciate that.
I think punk bands, especially like your, like other punk musicians, especially like your tunes. Do you think that might be true?
I think so. You know, like in some way, I guess maybe, you know, like maybe we're the kind of age that a lot of those people were when they're like, they're either the same age as us or like maybe a little younger than us. So maybe they were kind of getting into it as we had just a few years on them, you know? So yeah, kind of worked out that they happened to be listening to us, and just we tried to keep getting better, so a lot of them stuck with us, you know, instead of bailing, I hope, or whatever. So
yeah, I was talking to a guy you played with, Paul from La Armada in Chicago.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he loves you guys so much, and I just feel like it may, a lot of the punk musicians that I know who I look at in my personal life and think, damn, that dude knows how to write a tune. Their favorite band is yours. My drummer and All Torn Up and Paul from La Armada and like my most musical talented friends, they all just look at Propagandhi and just say, that's the band that defines what punk is today.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. I really like La Armada. I'm going to go see them here in Winnipeg in maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're on tour right now.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, Paul's a great guy, man. I really like them too.
Well, let's talk about objectives a little bit. When you guys are writing these tunes, when you're coming at a tune or you have an idea or you have a riff or you have a lyric idea, do you feel like you have a goal with that song? Like, is there a goal for each song that you guys have musically?
Or it just kind of comes out? I guess so. Like, I don't know if a goal is the right thing, but there's a certain like a certain vibe or something that's trying to come across, you know, like whatever that is, like some kind of a distant idea that's trying to, like maybe some kind of a distant cloudy scene that's trying to get, you know, like on a camera focus, just trying to focus it or something into an actual song. For me, it'd be like I have some riffs and some, like the riffs start to have a, maybe a kind of a mood or something, you know?
Wow, that's interesting.
Somehow distantly connects to some kind of a little lyrical vision or something I'm seeing, and then the hard part is, to kind of focus those things together or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it creates like something in reality rather than just something in a dark haze, you know?
So when you're mostly writing tunes, you come up with this sort of aura of the song, this tone of it, rather than the actual you don't really start with a riff. You sort of start with an idea and then of a sensation and then move forward with that. Is that how you'd say it?
Yeah, or like maybe the chords or like something like that. Like maybe like the chords, like, you know, like every kind of little chord combination has some kind of a feeling, you know?
Sure.
And then, like, sometimes it takes, for me especially, like a long time to get an idea that seems to fit those chords or something, you know? Like, I tend to have this, like as soon as I have the idea that fits the tune or the chords, like, I almost can't divorce them and change it anymore, you know? It's like those chords are that scene and I have to make it happen, you know? Something like that.
You get it stuck in your head a little bit and then it's sort of hard to think about it in a different way. Is that?
Yeah, or like let's say you have some riff that sounds like a rock being thrown off a cliff or a ship going up and down in the sea, you know? Like eventually that has to somehow, like, I have a hard time divorcing those thoughts anymore, you know? And then, so you kind of go with it. Like, I know, like, me and Chris or whatever, like, if we have an idea, like, we'll kind of explain it even to the rest of the guys in the band. Like, here's what you're trying to think about, you know?
Here's the scene.
Like, not necessarily, like, here's just the riff, you know? Like, here's what we're going for at this time, you know? Probably most people do that in some way, you know?
I don't know about that. I feel like that's pretty unique, Todd. I mean, I love talking to musicians about how they develop their riff ideas and come up with their songs and iron things out. And I don't think that there's a lot of consciousness or discussion of what a representation is of that riff. I mean, I think that that's pretty amazing. I always, when I'm writing with my bands, especially with All Torn Up, I like to get the sensation from whoever's wrote the riff or the idea of what the music is, and then come up with the lyrics in relationship to that. Like, I feel like the songs, the lyrics flow from that, whatever the tension is from the tune or the feeling
tune. Yeah.
But I think when you're explain it to another musician, just musically with regards to like the atmosphere of the tune, that's pretty unique. I feel like, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, because it's just kind of like I've been in this band doing this like that for a while, so it's kind of just what we've developed doing, I guess, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, maybe it comes from the fact that you guys are more thoughtful about what your impact your music is on people. I mean, I feel like a lot of punk, especially punks, but maybe just every musician, they don't necessarily consider what impact their music has on people or what ideas are going into their tunes. And you guys have mastered this maybe punk consciousness or maybe just consciousness in music. And do you think that has an impact on how you're writing the tunes themselves?
I think maybe some of the extra thought, like the way that our band is also developed, we're almost forced to push ourselves with the lyrics, you know? Because, like, a long time ago, like, the band came off strong and political, and then, like, it kind of set up the way that we feel like the lyrics have to say something and be important, but we also have to expand beyond what was happening before, you know? So like, we've kind of put ourselves in this position where we have to spend, like, a lot of thought on the lyrics, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is good because it's, like, a massive challenge, like, for me, is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like exceptionally like natural at doing it. Like, I have to work pretty hard, so but I think it's good, like if we had developed in a way where we felt like just kind of stock metal riffs or whatever were okay or like suited us more, I guess, than like okay, like, because I like those kind of riffs, but, like, they don't suit us, so we are forced to have to go beyond that, you know?
Yeah.
In some, yeah, so.
And pushing yourself as a musician and as an artist is so uncomfortable, always. I just feel like it never gets easy. You're always, if you are an artist, you're always trying to push yourself, and it's always uncomfortable. And
yeah, for sure.
If you're making art that you're proud of, you know, because you could just turn out something pretty or something that's a nice riff, and you could make it sound pretty, but it's just not going to be fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the older you get, the more you second guess your ideas, because you have more thoughts and more knowledge, so it actually becomes even harder to say something, because you're more like, well, what about this? What about that? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, your own mind is, like, even becomes more critical of your other thoughts, you know? So
the world gets more complicated. It's hard to take a stand on things, like a definitive stand. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, let me switch gears a little bit from writing tunes for a second, and let's talk a little bit about this. I hesitate to call you guys political. I don't know how you refer to yourself, but when I think about propaganda, I think philosophical as much as political. But maybe we could go into, when you begin coming up with an idea for a tune or an album, how do you come up with what you want to talk about or the angle you want to come at it with lyrically?
Yeah, I think it ends up being, you know, in your life, there's certain things that, like, you feel like you just need to say, kind of, you know, it just stews in your mind, like, okay, here's, like, what seems important, you know? But, like, for me, it's almost like the ideas almost seem to stay the same, but it's just different ways of presenting it. Because to me, the things that are most on my mind at all times are, like, why do I care about this stuff and other people seem to not, you know? Or, like, what is it that's making these people not give a shit about this? Or,
amen,
you know, what's causing these other people to be mean, and, like, what's causing these people to be cruel and nasty, you know what I mean? Or what's causing myself to be nasty, like...
Amen.
You know what I mean? It's those, those are the main questions. And then the actual song comes from, like, like, you have those thoughts all the time, and then, like, for me, like I'm walking to jamming, and I'll, you know, see something, like, I walk past, like young prostitutes here in Winnipeg, you know, they're, like, put out there by gangs and stuff, and, you know, you just start thinking, it's the same thoughts, like, what's, like, how does someone actually go and pick up some little, like, young woman who's down there, it's, like, 30 below, she's just in, like, a hoodie, freezing, like even someone stops, gets her in their truck, like don't you just look at her and go, holy fuck, is she ever cold, you know? Like, yeah. I just don't get it, you know?
I think so much of it is, too, that maybe people don't even look at those things. Like, they like to take themselves out of it, or they shelter themselves with these narcissistic thoughts, and the fact that you even look at those things must drive your tunes so harshly too. Then on top of that, questioning in it, asking yourself questions. I mean, that's impressive. You take those questions and they push you, is what you're saying?
I'd say, yeah, because the questions, like, to me, I always, like, I look at all of my lyrics and I'm like, fuck, this is just the same catalyst as before, you know? Mm. Like, it's just, I look at all my songs, it's just like even on the last record, like, you know, it's just the thought of, like, I can't believe there's, like, people being forced into religions, you know, that they don't even believe in, and, like, or, you know, like, just people, just hating people who are, like, succeeding or doing something different from what they understand, you know? Like, what's causing people to want to stay in the dark and, like, actually have a shittier life, shittier world for, you know?
Yeah.
Like just because they want to, or, you know? I don't even know.
Maybe they don't even see. I mean, there's just, we could endlessly talk about those. We could endlessly, you know, postulate on some of those things. Even having answers isn't even the point, I guess, you know? Because if we had answers, we would just solve those problems. But they plague us. And that's
right. Exactly,
So let me ask you, instead of, so... obviously coming up, it's haunting to come up with these tunes. You can feel the tension in what you guys produce. When you guys play shows, it's not only is it entertaining and there's consciousness there and there's politics that you guys willingly bring into it, which is encouraging to the crowd, but it is challenging to the crowd too, and it's also empowering. I feel like that dynamic that is so impossible for other musicians to get on stage, to be entertaining and provocative and challenging and empowering, all those things at once. Do you guys, like, before you guys go into a set or before you guys go into a city, do you have to, like, get yourself oriented or, like, come up with how you're going to do it? I just feel like you guys, thinking about what you think about, it can be so heavy, but you're uplifting and you're challenging and entertaining. That's not easy to do. How the fuck do you guys do it?
Yeah, the hardest thing I think about, for me, about, like, playing shows, it's not playing the songs. It's, like, trying to figure out how to roll the show between the songs, you know? It's like, what do you do? And then I think somehow just, I wouldn't say gave up trying, but, like, to do that. But, like, now it's just, I think we've played a lot of shows, so it's more just the panic of keeping the show rolling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah. I feel that panic. I mean, I don't play anything nearly the size of yours, and I feel that panic every goddamn time I'm on a stage. So I know what you're saying. Yeah, that panic creeps in. Let me ask you this. When you have a crowd or someone listening to your record, what do you hope is going to be the effect that that music or that show is going to have on those people? Could be in a crowd in a given night, or it could just be, you know, a teenager in his room listening to the tunes. Like, what hope do you have that you're going to, what do you, effect do you hope to have on folks? Like, what do you, in Todd's mind, like, what do you want to have on effect?
Yeah, I guess I'm, like, more in the shallow way, I'm hoping that the people are like, you know, like, fuck, did that ever rock, you know?
Mm.
But then, I guess on a more secondary level, like if that's where they end for it, it's like, that's fine. You know, I don't mind that, or I'm happy enough. But I guess more you want people to be like think that and then feel like moved or touched, you know, by art or an idea or, you know what I mean? Like where they're like, yeah, I could feel what that guy was talking about. And then maybe next time, a similar, like if they happen to pick something out of the words, maybe, you know, next time that something happens, they think about it more, you know? Like if they pick out, like that something in the song moved these people about, you know, like how they're like refugees or whatever, you know, just as an example, like maybe next time somehow that song enters into their thought when, you know, trying to show like how an emotion that, like, of caring for something, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a very good explanation, but.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
That effect, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not really fair that I, like, throw these questions at you, too, and never prepped you for them. So, but I think that that's an honest and sincere answer. Look, we're musicians, first and foremost. We want to be able to do what we do well. And I think when you make a tune, you want to make it sound good. Yes, I don't think that that's shallow either. I think that that is honest about what we do. Otherwise, we just write a fucking book, you know?
Or we
go out and raise money for the cause, you know, that cause, or we just go and be an aid worker. So you do what you do because that's what you know how to do. I don't think that that's shallow. I think that that's sincere and honest too, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and there's something too that, you know, like when you're like just a kid listening to whatever, Kiss or Dio or Sabbath or, you know, you just have this feeling like, yeah, like I want to just rock like that, you know, like relentless rocking. And then I think that always stays, like that becomes kind of who you are, you know, like we all play music because something at that point just touched our nerves, you know?
Yeah. I don't think anyone could have said that better. So let's take a pause for a second and reflect on that. All right, get down. All right, here's a song by La Lamada. They're on tour right now, right across the country. They're playing with Strung Out in a city, I'm sure, near where you live. So search for La Damada on Facebook. They're an incredible band. You won't be disappointed. The live show is just as incredible as the recordings, and they're both spectacular. So here is La Damada. They'll be here in New York City May 10th. And we'll, everybody from Dispatches will definitely be at that show because we love them very, very dearly. So La Damada, get down. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Middle East for a second. Obviously, things have been wildly out of control there for a very long time. But in particular, very recently, it's been additionally stressful and horrific. And obviously, a lot of this goes back to the U.S. destabilizing the entire region in the first place in the second Iraq War. I mean, or just in general, imperialist involvement over there. But, you know, in relatively recent years and months, Syria has gone beyond out of control. The humanitarian crisis is off the charts. You know, Islamic State has made its mark in a number of the countries. And then most recently, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu made this insane, this brutal rhetoric right before the Israeli elections, saying that he is fully opposed to a Palestinian state. So I just feel like it is particularly important right now for people and punks to be thinking about people there and talking about this issue. It just, you know, to me, it seems like genocide. Todd, I don't know how it feels to you, but I look at Palestine and it just seems like it's what ethnic cleansing looks like when it's happening. So I wanted to I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about if you've been looking at the topic, or if you're looking at Palestine recently, and what you think is going on, or just in general, I know it's a heavy topic. Maybe you could give me some feelings on it. Make me feel better about what's going on there, Todd, because I don't know if I couldn't feel any worse.
Well, I don't. My outlook generally makes anyone feel any better about it, but. Yeah, it seemed crazy. It seems or seemed like that last bombing there was just insane. I remember just thinking at some point, like, whatever, 50 people were killed, you know?
Yeah.
Just thinking, this is incredibly insane, you know? Like, how high does this death toll have to go? You know, and then it passes 500. You're like, holy shit, I can't believe this. And it passes 1,000, you know? And it just keeps going and going, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, it's not stopping, you know? And just the scenes and the devastation, you know? Like, yeah, I honestly, like, I don't know. Like, I have no stock, like, to have an opinion either way, you know?
Yeah.
Except for, like, a sense of justice, you know? And what I'm seeing there just seems so wrong and so insane, you know?
Well, it's so, and this is something that I think you deal with music, and we talked a little bit on the other segment, but to look at, I feel like a lot of people, not even just punks, just people, they hear about these situations and they tune them out. That's obviously true. But yeah. even people who pay attention to it, they have a hard time feeling, well, they don't know how to deal with it, so then they ultimately just ignore it. How do you feel like people of conscience in your opinion? Obviously, we're not philosophers. Obviously, we're not politicians. This is just our own personal opinions. You know, people can take from it what they will, or they don't have to take anything from it. But in your own personal opinion, how do you feel like people of conscience can look at that situation in the Middle East, whether it be the Syrian refugee crisis or the brutal war going on, but particularly Palestine, how do they look at those things and figure out how to live in relationship to them, or how to look at them and know more about them and not just get eaten up by them? Like, do you...
That's a good question.
I mean, you guys, obviously, in Propagandhi are pretty well-informed folks, and there's a lot of people out there who maybe aren't as informed. Maybe they are as informed, but you guys aren't debilitated and you're not paralyzed by looking like at these very heavy issues. Is there something that you think, like deep inside, that helps you get a grip of them? Or is there a way you look at them that helps you deal with them emotionally?
For me, the way to, I guess, cope is to try to find an outlet to express how you feel about it, you know, whether without just being but a thoughtful way, you know, like not just like going on Facebook and typing and setting links, you know, like something that you thought about and created with some effort, trying to move some sense of humanity or how you feel about it along, you know, like to pass your thoughts of justice forward. But I find it also is helpful to me, even though I've been a little lazy in the last little bit because I've been taking some classes and whatever, but like volunteering, you know, so you're like actively doing something, you know, like, and you're seeing other people as humans, you know, like you could, like, I don't know, whatever, like in whatever town or city you're in, there's definitely going to be people from... other parts of the world who showed up because of war and injustice, you know? And I think if you meet them and try to learn, you start to get a more realistic grasp on what it all means, you know? Like, it's not just something on the TV or... Like, you start to understand, okay, yeah, there's this war and, like, wars in Syria and that, and, like, if you're in Europe and people from Syria start to arrive suddenly... Like, people should understand that, like, these people aren't arriving because they think where you're at rules so much. It's just that they can't live where they are anymore, you know?
Yeah, this is this came up in Canada recently, too, isn't it? Didn't they just say something about immigration to Canada or something about Canadian citizens looking at immigrants and seeing them as more of a plight than a welcome guest? I think that guys are catching a little bit of American disease on that front.
Yeah, there's like a really conservative, really terrible government right now with the shittiest prime minister of all time, maybe. So things are, like, people are talking stupider and crazier, and like now Canada is like planning on going for an illegal bombing, like internationally illegal bombing in Syria, you know, to try to bomb ISIS. You know what I mean? And no one knows what, you know what I mean? None of these people are experts on Syria, like politics, you know what I mean? And like, who are these people, like, besides just, you know? And then, okay, so people are bombing the shit out of in Syria. Okay, let's go bomb, but when people, like, we want to save them, but when they, if they have to leave Syria because of these bombs, and any of them make it to Canada, we also don't want you here, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, like, not, like, nothing's thought out. It's just, because I think the actual impulse is, like, it's not about justice. It's, like, I'm afraid, I don't really care about you. I want to bomb everything until I feel safe, or this makes me feel safe. And if you arrive, you're actually scaring me more here than you were even in Syria. So now I'm afraid of you here too. So get out of here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of that thought, I suppose.
Well, it is definitely hard, but you guys have definitely put forward some thoughts on how people can deal with some of this stuff too. So maybe we can go in a particular, like, the cultural realm.
Okay.
My band, All Torn Up, and your band actually have crossed paths a tiny bit. Both of us are part of this group, this signatories to this call called Punks Against Apartheid. People can check it out. It's obviously Punks Against Apartheid, APARTHEID. I hope I spelled that right. But, you know, people can check it out. And there is a cultural movement. There's a cultural boycott of Israel. And propaganda obviously takes part in that. You guys don't obviously play Palestine. You don't play Israel.
No. Yeah.
And, I mean, there is a movement to encourage people to boycott, divest, and issue sanctions, and it's called the BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. And one of the things that the Punks Against Apartheid is encouraging is that the bands are encouraging BDS. Do you feel like that this has? I know. Look, personally, I think boycott, divestment, and sanctions, there are challenges with the strategy. You know, my band All Torn Up is officially endorsed Punks Against Apartheid because I think it's a one of a group, and I think that it is bringing an important issue to light in a community that often ignores that. So I do support BDS. I do think that there are tactically some issues and some questions involved in it. Like, how do you feel about BDS in terms of its effectiveness or in terms of its long-term strategy, or, like, you know, just even personally, you know, we don't have to make statements about the band's overall feelings, because obviously the band is overall supportive of the movement, and we all want to stop Israel from the genocide they're perpetuating. But
yeah,
what do you think about this BDS movement's effectiveness or potential for change?
Like, pretty much everything in a way comes down to like money, you know.
Mm.
Like even more than religion and all this, you know, pretending and all this and that. Like it comes down to like economics and fear and you know what I mean? Like competition. And,
yeah.
I think sometimes I think when people are forced to think about how they're going to be affected monetarily by their decisions, that's kind of a good way to make someone have to change the way they're doing things to do it not so viciously, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they can say what they will about their own ideas, but these are capitalists, and if they can't make money off of the companies that are invested in their country or the companies that are making their countries work and viable, they're not going to be able to sustain their state. So, you know, we've seen that the sanctions are hugely impacting Russia, and they're hugely impacting major countries. Definitely Israel can have, we can have an impact. There's no question about it that.
Yeah, for sure.
They're giving me an impact here. Maybe I can play a little bit of devil's advocate, because I get this question a lot.
And yeah.
I get this question about people who are hesitant to talk about the issue of Palestine in the punk community, because they feel like if they support Palestinians that they are de facto supporting Hamas, or they are de facto supporting a religious affiliation that they don't necessarily support. Obviously, I have my opinions on that, but I'm just wondering, like, what would you say to someone who is concerned about the situation, is concerned about the humanitarian situation, but is nervous about that if opposing Israel's positions and opposing what they do to the Palestinians, that they feel like they might, in fact, in some way, it's not in fact, but in some way, be supporting Hamas. They don't, you know, maybe even for good reasons. Maybe they don't want to support Hamas's position on women, or obviously Hamas is not very encouraging to young musicians. Obviously, there's a ban on music in a lot of ways there. What would you say to people who are nervous about engaging this issue because of maybe they're atheists or don't want to talk too much about Muslims or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's like at least that shows some thought, you know, like that shows that people are, I think it's wise in a way to be unsure, you know, like, and if you don't necessarily know, you know what I mean, to have some reservations about talking about some place in the world that you don't really know about, so it's pretty reasonable, you know?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure. I think all you can do is, like, I guess, like, in my case, like a lot about really finding out a lot about that stuff. Like, I'm always interested, but, like, some of it is, like, the band's catalyst. Like, I feel like I, like, have to know about it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because I'm asked questions, you know, like, I don't want to just sit there like an imbecile.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But I am, you know, when people ask me about specific situations in the world, like I too hesitate, like not being an expert, you know, like I'm basically a citizen reading books and listening to things, trying to figure out the best as I can, like everyone else. So I can see how people who don't really know, don't want to engage publicly. But at the same time, it's like our responsibility to find out what's going on, like not just in Israel, but, you know, like in Congo, Nigeria, like Syria, everywhere, you know, like Thailand, Indonesia, like what's going on in all these places, to at least try to put the pieces together about maybe at least how the world works and how you fit into it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if not, like, publicly, like, stating every issue, you know?
I think that's a really honest... This tough. These are tough issues, too. I mean, look, Hamas obviously is not an organization that most critical Western-living atheists would super want to get behind, obviously, right? So, I mean, there's good reservations there, definitely, but... you know, on the other side, it's challenging too, because to walk that line that you're putting down, which I think is a very carefully worded and very thoughtful answer, and I think there's a lot of thought behind it, very honest as well. I appreciate that. But I don't know if this is an issue that you guys have had to deal with in Canada much, but there's definitely this Islamophobic movement in America.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy here now, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
In my mind, Canada's always just so much better than America. I guess it's really not.
Oh, I wish it was, but no, it's not. And, like, yeah, it's almost like if you're on anything, like, any little social media and you see the people you grew up with all posting about, you know, like, posting their own, like, stuff against Muslim people and that, yeah, it's very disappointing and very crazy.
Yeah, and trying to speak about an issue that's, like, you know, very far away from us, very heavy, very emotionally charged, has a lot of very complicated, you know, origins and even more complicated solutions, it's very challenging. So I think speaking about it in a way that talks about the complexity of it and how maybe people should err with caution a little bit and learn about the things before they speak about it, I think that that's a good point. So I appreciate that honesty.
Yeah, and I find, like, the answers that are meaningful are, way more complex. That's why it's so easy for people to just jump on those, like, Islamophobic things, because they just see something racist and their initial thought is, yeah, I see terrorism, I think that's bad, I'll post it, you know?
Yeah.
But it, like, they don't understand that, like, like, they divorce it from all history and all experience, and, like, most of these people, like, you know, will post just nonsense, like, I saw a refugee with a check at the bank posting, you know, a $3,000 check. I saw them with a $3,000 check at the bank, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, well, you don't know what that check's for. You don't know, you know, like, you don't, and plus they didn't see it in the first place, you know.
Right,
they made it just... up, but even if they had, you know, it's like, just nothing makes any sense. There's no thought, you know.
No thought, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Look, I look at the opposite side happens to me. I obviously don't want to do racist stuff, but I mean, you know, sometimes I want to cling to simple, comfortable, radical, clear answers, and I sometimes say crazy shit and want to, like, you know, just come up with a simple answer. But like, oh yeah, capitalism, just destroy it, problem solved. You know, so I understand that the other I understand the other side, and I can see why the simple minded right side wants to cling to some stupid answer on their side too. But even then, I still think we have a little bit more thought in our simple answers than they put in there. So maybe that's
yeah.
So maybe that's not fair. I don't know.
I guess maybe that's part of a goal of, I think, maybe our band a little bit, even despite the way it might seem, is to, like, as we get older, to say, yeah, there's a lot of things we don't understand, a lot of things you don't understand. You know, like, let's try to find at least admit this to ourselves, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's end it there, Todd. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're super busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to get down with us.
Yeah, for sure.
And folks out there can obviously check out Propagandi at your website. It's just propagandi.com, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then, I guess my parting words to the people is, yeah, just try to find out what's going on and do your best to. Even if you can't figure out what's going on in the world, at least go find someone that you can help somewhere, you know, even on a personal level. There's a lot of people need help, you know, and someday we might as well, and we'll hope that they'll help us. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Todd. I really appreciate it.
Right on. Thanks, Joseph. Right on, man.
Get down. Here is the title track of Propagandi's most recent album, Failed States. Get down. Okay, that's our show. Thanks for getting down with us. Again, this is Dispatchers from the Underground, and we have a show every single week. We are up on Wednesdays. You can go to our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com, and you can download us there for free. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, again, for free. And please, you know, if you do the iTunes thing, leave a comment. Let us know what you think about the show. Send us hate mail, whatever you want to do. Or you can also do that by emailing us at dispatchersfromtheunderground@hotmail.com or hitting us up on social media at, you know, just search for Dispatch from Underground on Facebook or tweet us at DFT Underground. Those are the ways to get in touch with us. We want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate all those folks who keep tuning in week after week and subscribing to our show. Thanks to the very special people who've donated to us. We did a benefit for Punk Island last week at the Swamp, and we want to appreciate all those bands, Blackout Shoppers, Citizen Blast Kane, La Crosse and Penguin, who helped us put that show on, and all the folks who came out, everybody who just endlessly supports us. We are so deeply emotionally and economically in debt to you. Thank you very much. If you can be one of those supporters, please do that. Right now, Dispatch from the Underground is really trying to raise money for Punk Island. We are still behind in our numbers. So if you can buy a t-shirt from us, I would deeply appreciate that. You can message us. The best way to do that right now is just by messaging us at dispatchfromtheunderground@gmail.com. We really need some dough to help make that happen. So we'd appreciate any help you can give us. If you can't, totally understand. You know, we don't have a lot of money, and that's part of the point that we do this, is that there is not a lot of money to go around because of the situation we're in. All the more reason why we need to understand the situation we're in and why we need to keep this podcast free and keep it going. So please keep tuning in, keep checking out what we have going on, keep getting down with us week after week. We try to make sure that everyone has some perspective on this crazy, messed up world that we live in, socially, culturally, politically, economically, whatever else. And we try to hopefully uplift you by seeing A, how to deal with that, and B, what else is going on in the underground and some of the great culture that is around us that is trying to combat that mainstream monotony. So keep tuning in. Keep checking out all the bands that we are promoting on this podcast and all the incredible shows that are going on in New York City and around this country and around this world. There are good embers starting to be lit up, and hopefully that fire can carry on and push forward and make this world a better place by burning down some of the bad and lighting a fire under the asses of some of the good folks. Obviously, a big part of that is propaganda, and we want to thank all of you for listening, but we also want to send a dear thank you to Todd for taking time out of his busy schedule and getting down with us and talking about these this heavy topic of what's going on in the Middle East. We know it's not something most musicians want to even engage about, and the fact that Todd's willing to do that, and also he does it so articulately and with such a unique perspective, means a lot to other musicians, I think. I mean, to me especially, but to all of us who are fans of what incredible stuff they're doing. It's definitely a complicated situation, and I thought there was very interesting things we can learn from and what he was talking about and the importance of being more knowledgeable and just making sure that we know what we're talking about and hopefully just being engaged physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, just being engaged in what we're doing. So thank you, Todd, for reminding us of all that. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, so make sure you go get a pen and paper and listen to the episode again and take some notes on some of the incredible stuff that he had to offer us. Just so people know, Propagandi is going to be on tour. I don't know, maybe not a tour so much, but they're going to be doing some shows in the near future, and you can go check out where they're going to be. They're going to be June 18th, they're going to be in Montebello, and the 19th, they're going to be playing a show in, two shows in Montebello, I guess. And then they're going to be upstate New York at Clifton Park, and they're going to be in Portland, Maine, on the 20th, and hopefully we get to talk them into maybe coming down to New York City on the 21st, but that's fingers crossed, that's down the line. Anyway, you can find out more information by going to their website, propagandi.com. You can also go to their Bandcamp page, Propagandi, which I'm sure you know how to spell, but propagandhi, excuse me, .com, Bandcamp.com, propagandi.bandcamp.com. And this week, actually, last week, they released an album they finally got the rights to themselves, which I think previously they had not. So you can go get supporting cast on their Bandcamp page, give the money directly to them. And we're going to be listening to a song from that album from 2009 right now. I think it's in a little bit in the spirit of some of the things that Todd and I were wrestling with earlier in the episode. And it's a heavy song, it's a heavy topic, and these are heavy times, so here's a heavy song. This is the Funeral Procession off of Supporting Cast, and thanks again to Todd and everyone for listening. So here's Propagandi. Get down.
jewelry.